It's not just music, it's your way of life. How you live, live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It is time for us now to move on to our next conversation, and I want to remind you that our next conversation is on the Grow Model, and our Grow Model is purposed and meant for to help us grow, to help us become better Christians. As we feed our bodies with physical food during the lunch hour, we would love also to feed our spiritual bodies with spiritual nourishment, and that is why we have our Grow Model, which is always at or during the lunch hour. We are going to be having a conversation with the pastor as soon as we are connected to the pastor. We are hoping we will get connected to the pastor, and the pastor is right there, who's going to be helping us with our Grow Model today. Still on scripture and salvation, how to study them, and the context is everything. If you've been listening to our news cycle and you've been noticing what has been happening with Judge President Mbenenge in the tribunal here in South Africa, you'll notice that each and every time, if their day does not end when the phrase context is everything is not said. So it's very important for us to understand importance of context. Have I received a text that was taken out of context and started a drama? Now, imagine doing with God's word the same thing, taking things and then making a storm out of things, and yet you've taken them out of context. We do it all the time. Context just is important. It's not just nice. It's necessary. Today we're unpacking how culture, how language, how history, how authorship gives scripture its punch and prevents spiritual misfires when we understand context. Joining us now on the line is Pastor Comfort Anopa Mugwendere. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, my dear brother. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. We're jumping right in. What is a verse a day keeps the devil away? A dangerous way to read the Bible? Do you find that it's a good way or a bad way? Why is it? If it's a bad, why is it bad? If it's good, what's good about it? Your take on this idea of a verse a day keeps the devil away.
A day away, it's one of the concepts many people think that if I use, at least I am reading the Bible. But one of the dangers, it is a dangerous way. Why do I say so? Because there is the challenge of misinterpretation. Taking a verse out of context can lead to misinterpretation and misapplication. Number two, a day away, it promotes us to have lack of depth. Why? Because focusing on individual verses without considering the broader context can result in a shallow understanding of God's word. Why is it so problematic? Because of its ignorance to the historical, cultural, literal context in which the verse was written. It is so dangerous in the sense that it promotes what I call cherry picking. Cherry picking is the idea of picking verses that support personal preferences or biases, as it overlooks and neglects the author's original intent, or audience, and the purpose. So in simple terms, I'm simply saying that reading, checking a verse, a verse is dangerous. Why? Because of the following reasons, which I gave. Number one, misinterpretation, lack of depth, as it ignores context, and it leads to what I call cherry picking, and it overlooks authorial intent.
Okay. So how do we handle difficult passages like genocide in the Old Testament or controversial instructions in Paul's letters?
You know, this is something that I have heard people saying, I cannot worship this God because if I look at how he promoted the death of many people, this God is ruthless. So how do we handle these difficult points? We need to study the passage within its historical, cultural, and literal context. Number two, we need to know and consider the broader theological framework of Scripture and how the passage fits within it. And we must be able to approach these difficult passages with humility, recognizing the complexity and the potential for multiple interpretations. So what am I saying? These Old Testament genocide texts, which you may call them, need, number one, historical context understanding. I'm saying here, let's understand the historical context of the conquest of Canaan and the specific commands given to Israel, as an example. Let's understand the broader context of the conquest of Canaan. What's behind Canaan? It's broader. Let's understand and consider also its theological significance. We want to talk about how God deals with sin and how God is establishing or the establishment of Israel as a holy nation, to see it as a type of the broader picture, theological. And also, when it comes to Paul's writings, you know, if they are taken out of context, it becomes also a challenge. So there are key principles that we need to look at. That is, let's approach difficult passages with love and respect for others, even when interpretations differ. And number two, let's look at it in a, you know, let's look at the at it holistically, not to treat them as standalone. We have been given an admonition, especially on Paul's writings. Let me read it. That is Second Peter. Peter also gave us an admonition on how we should approach the books of the Pauline letters. Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some of the things are hard to understand, which they are that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction." So from this passage, we can learn that Peter is saying, in order for us to understand the Pauline letters, one thing we need to know, the basic premise one need to have as we approach them, is that Paul wrote the same thing as the other scriptures. That's the first thing. Number two, he says the people who are going to misunderstand or are going to misinterpret the Pauline letters are those who are not learned. Learned meaning to say those people who do not have the historical background, those people who do not have the context, those people who do not have the understanding of the linguistic of the language which Paul was talking about. So he's saying here, we need to learn who were the audience of Paul and why did Paul say these words. Let's try to dig.
Are you still there, Pastor? Pastor?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm still there.
Okay. So we have cultural practices and cultural significances that are documented in our scriptures, Mfundisi. And you'll hear pastors like yourselves, when they preach, Not only do they preach the gospel and the word as falling from the mouth of Yah, but then they go as far as to say, in the Hebrew culture, this means this and that and that, and therefore we must learn this and that from the Hebrew culture. Here's my question. What role does ancient cultures like the Hebrew culture play in interpreting modern applications?
Yeah, there's what you call principle. Principle over rules. Principles over rules. As we look at the Hebrew culture, we need to look at the principle over the rule. What am I saying here? We need to focus on underlying principles and values rather than specific cultural practices. We need to be able to say, okay, in the Hebrew culture, they were doing A and B, but what's the principle there? Like, for example, when the Bible says, a man shall not wear, and that's the Hebrew culture, a man shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a woman. So we are not saying that.
No, Pastor. No, that is not Hebrew culture. That was instructed by Yah. Those instructions were Levitical instructions that fell from the mouth of Yah through the pen of Moses. I want us to distinguish between the things that Yahweh instructed and the things that were just done by people of Hebrew descent. The issue of dress code was instructed by Yah.
Thank you. I brought that so that I can give it as an example. Like, for example, I say that's the instruction, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the instruction now. So we need now to go back into the Hebrew culture. What did they understood on that instruction? Not to say we are supposed to wear those same dresses they wore. Not to say we are supposed to now take those effort as the priesthood wear effort. We are supposed to move around with efforts. So we are saying we need to take the principle. So the principle there is distinction. The principle there is modesty. Okay. Number two, we need cultural transposition. Consider how biblical teachings can be applied in different cultural contexts. To know that in as much as we can learn from the Hebrew culture on its own is not itself absolute. The Bible also can apply even to the Zulu culture, can apply even to any culture, because it transports, you know, it moves beyond. And another thing also, contextualization. Balance fidelity to scripture with the sensitivity to modern cultural context. This is whereby we become now sensitive to say, okay, the scripture, the Hebrew culture will say this, but look at this culture. Now we become sensitive on it.
Perhaps I'm a bit worried here, Mfundisi, because it appears as though I'm confused between God's instructions and the will of people, which constitutes Hebrew culture. I want to give you examples of these distinctions, and then you can correct me, Mfundisi. The issue of dress code of the priests is not Hebrew culture. Whether you're a Hebrew or not, when you become a descendant of Aaron, if you are a descendant of Aaron, you become a Levite. And if we accept that Aaron descended from Levi, and Aaron, because he descended from Levi, God instructed that his children will be priests, and all the Levites, people who descend from Levi, will serve in the sanctuary. That's not Hebrew culture. That is God instructing that these specific people, are going to serve me. And those are instructions from Yah. What is bothersome for me is the time of getting married, for example. Hebrews would get married by night. We see this in the practice of the wedding of Jacob, who got married at night and was cheated out of his Rachel lover and was given a lazy-eyed wife, discovered that in the morning. So that is the time of getting married was not instructed by Yah. It was their choice. Mm-hmm. That is Hebrew culture. But you will find pastors drawing principles from Hebrew culture. And that is what we're asking here. Does culture have a role in our spiritual lives? Should we learn things that were done, cultural things that were done by the Hebrews, as opposed to the instructions of Yah, as would be in the case of the Levitical laws? And the Levitical laws are not culture. They are laws that flow from the mouth of Yah. Are we supposed to be following the Hebrew culture, for example?
Now, I think you have nailed it to the cross. Okay. You have managed to bring out the differences between God's rule, the distinction between God's rule and Hebrew culture. Because God's rule, as outlined in the Bible, are divine commands and the principles that guide human behavior and relationships. On the other hand, Hebrew culture refers to customs, traditions, and the practices of the ancient Israel as a people, like what you have given here. Okay, so what about can we take them in today's society? Can we apply them when it comes to spiritual matters?
Yes.
Can we apply them? Now, the problem is when we try to enforce a culture which is not instructed, because a culture, remember, that is their way of life. But what we need to do, let's take principle from God's rule more than from the culture. But if we can learn something from that culture, if we see that, there's no harm in learning, learning from a Hebrew culture, there's no harm also. If we can learn something good from the black culture, there's no harm. If we can learn anything which is good from any other culture, not only the Hebrew culture. But to make it now to say this is a rule, that becomes a challenge.
Okay, I like that. Should we read Bible literally or metaphorically? Or even both? What's the risk in leaning too far either way, if there is any?
Thank you. Should we read the Bible literally? If we talk about literal approach, we are saying just taking it as it is. If we talk about metaphorically, it is to find hidden or deeper meaning. But one thing that we would come across is that not all passages are literal and not all passages are metaphorical. So in simple terms, what I would suggest is that we need a balanced view, a multifaceted approach, whereby we pray for discernment that God, as I am reading, is this passage literal? Especially when we talk about some of the things like the Decalogue, that's literal. Do not steal, that's literal. But there are some passages which are metaphorical. Like if we are studying a prophecy, we can take them on a metaphorical approach. So one thing we need to know is that there is need balance. So there is a time where we need to take it in a literal sense, a passage. And there is a time where we need to take a passage from a metaphorical view. So the challenge is to take the passage which must be literal as metaphorical. The passage is metaphorical as literal. So that's where we need now discernment.
Final question on food is, how do we move from these shallow Bible quotes that you find people spitting out and move from that to deep biblical truth?
Okay. Thank you. From shallow courts to deeper biblical truth, I think everybody would want to move. So moving deeper, read beyond courts. Move beyond core individual courts and explore the surrounding passages and books. So in simple terms, like what Isaiah suggested to us, precept upon precept, line upon line. So you are reading, isn't it? Rather than just reading verse 2, go to verse 1, go to the previous chapter. Go even down from that verse. Number 2, study scripture systematically. What do I mean? I'm talking about exploring its themes, doctrines, and narrative. Don't take it as a standalone. Look at the thought. Okay, I'm studying about love. Continue digging deeper. What does the Bible say about love? I'm studying about divorce. What does the Bible say about divorce? Not only in Matthew. What about Mark? What about Luke? Continue. What about, okay, I've now the gospel. Now, let me go and add the Pauline letters. Let me go and add the Old Testament. So systematic study. And the most important is prayerful reflection. Approach scripture with a prayerful reflection, seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. I'll repeat. How to move deeper. Read beyond courts. Move beyond individual courts and explore the surrounding passages and books. I repeat, study scripture systematically, exploring its themes, doctrines, and narratives. And lastly, approach scripture with a prayerful reflection, seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. If you let yourself say, God, I am open, God is able to fill us with his truth.
All right, Pastor, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you very much for your time. It's very interesting listening to you and your perspectives. Looking forward to our conversation again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much. God bless you all, and God bless you too, my brother. May God be with you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.